Now this morning we have the joy again of dedicating 8 precious babies. We're going to dedicate Jaden and Robert Hume. We're going to do it now, so don't get ready. Lachlan Moore, Hannah Nelson, good name. Eloise Percy, Jude Sharkey, Samara Tonkin, Rory Tonkin and Maya Whelan. And again, as we come together to do that, it's just an incredible thing, again, for me to just watch our children grow and to watch some of these children be born to children that were born right back when I started here. And so this is rich. This is family. This is a brilliant part of what our church is like. And to look at the amount of generations we have and the amount of networks and family that we have and to think of the support that's here. For those of you that haven't got children yet, go to have children, I encourage you, this is a good place to be. But dedication is not a religious tradition. It's not, you know, we're going to go and have a christening or we're going to have a sprinkling, and I'm not putting any church denomination down in any way, shape or form. Dedication has a very spiritual significance. In Luke 2, we see Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple to consecrate or to dedicate him back to God. They did that because there was a pattern that had been formed. We go back to 1 Samuel 1:20 and we read the account of Hannah dedicating Samuel back to God. As a child, I grew up and I was christened. And in the church that I grew up, that christening was seen to be my baptism. Yet I had no part to play in it. It was my parents doing it because that's what you did. Whereas in this church, we see that dedication is really the parents taking responsibility of their children and making a commitment back to God that they're going to consecrate, they're going to dedicate their children to raise them, to give them an opportunity to grow into the people that God has destined for them to be. And so in this case, and in our church, baptism will come later for our children as they make that decision themselves. But dedication today with these children is because these parents want to do what Joseph and Mary did and want to do what Hannah and Elkanah did with Samuel. Let me read to you the amazing story of Samuel being dedicated. And it is an amazing story. It's an amazing story because Samuel was an answer to prayer. But it's an amazing story because of what Samuel became, because of the commitment of his parents. Before the year was out, Hannah had conceived and given birth to a son. Now, prior to this, Hannah was barren and was not able to bear children. And she'd been crying out to God at the temple. And the year before at the temple, she cried out to God and said, God, please give me a son and I will give you back my son as your servant. And so she named him Samuel and she explained, I asked God for him. Well, when Elkanah next took his family on their annual trip to Shiloh to worship God, to offering sacrifices and keeping his vow, Hannah didn't go. She told her husband, after the child is weaned, I bring him myself and I'll present him before God. And that's where he'll stay for good. Elkanah said to his wife, do what you think is best. Every man says that to his wife. Do what you think is best. Stay home until you've weaned him. Yes, let God complete what he has begun. So she did. She stayed home. She nursed her son until she'd weaned him. Then she took him up to Shiloh. And she brought him herself to Samuel, to Eli. Hannah said, excuse me, sir, would you believe that I am the very woman who was standing before you at this very spot praying to God? I prayed for this child and God gave me what I asked for. And now I have dedicated him to God. He's dedicated to God for life. And then and there they worship God. And if you ever want to read the passage, follow on and read the worship song that Hannah sang to God as she dedicated Samuel. So, as you can see, dedication is not only scriptural, it sets in motion an outworking that only God knows. So, as with Joseph and Mary, with Elkanah and Hannah, the parents of these eight beautiful children are really saying, God, you blessed us with these beautiful children, and we are now consecrating them, or we're dedicating them back to you. They're acting out something that says, we will do all in our power to raise them in an environment that will allow you to bring to pass what you would have of them as your servants. There's a word that I often use. It's a word that I love using because it helped me understand that the hard part of growing things doesn't have to be that hard. It's a word called biotic. And it basically means that if you have the right ingredients and the right environment, then a seed will naturally grow of itself without hard work. And sometimes I watch organizations, I watch churches, I watch things work hard to try and grow without the right environment, without the right nutrients. As parents, if you plant these children in the best spiritual soil that you can, and you give them the best spiritual food, then they will grow into what God intended. Just as much as if you have the nicest things or the good things, you think of Marita and you think of what those kids are growing up with and you think of how they just love coming. You provide something that's good, you give them some good food and they just flourish. You know, those smiling faces. So we can guarantee that if you, as parents, plant these children in the best spiritual home that you can, in the best spiritual environment that you can, whether it be home group, whether it be Christian education, whether it be play groups or whatever is offered, and you have the environment at home that is in keeping with that, then they will grow into what God has got for them. It's just a natural thing that will outwork. And again, Scripture tells us that this is the case. Jeremiah 29, a Scripture that we hear quoted often, a Scripture that is so real. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and to give you a future." The Bible says, "For he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ." Scripture I hang on to. There's another Scripture in Luke, and I love this. It comes out of the Message, and it sounds a little different to what you would read in the King James. But it says, "What's the price of two or three pet canaries? Some loose change, right? But God never overlooks a single one. And he pays even greater attention to you, down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. So don't be intimidated by all this bully talk. You're worth more than a million canaries." Isn't that a great passage? Psalm 139 says, "Oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you are breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculptured from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life, all prepared before I'd even lived one day." Biotic. Seed. Planted in the best soil, watered and given the best nutrients, will grow into the tree that it was destined. When I'm thinking, or when I was thinking about the dedication and about the children that we're dedicating, I started to think about the potential of each of those lives. What they might achieve for God. What they might become. What is their career going to be? What are they going to do in the years ahead? Robert Schuller said, "Anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed." I have a bowl here of, I hope, still 8 apples. I saw someone pick one up before. 8 beautiful apples, shaped differently, coloured differently, all with seeds inside. These 8 apples represent the 8 children that we're dedicating today. Now, None of us know right now how many seeds are in that apple. And nobody knows how many apple trees are going to grow from those seeds. And nobody knows how many apples are going to be on the trees that come from the seeds in this apple. And we could go on and we could go on and we could go on. You know, the potential of each of the children that we dedicate is exactly like that. They are a seed of God. A seed with incredible potential. A seed that when they were conceived, we didn't know anything about. When they were born, we knew that they were male, female. We find a name. We see the colour of their skin, the colour of their hair, the shape of their nose. But yet we still don't know what they're going to become. Only God knows. Hannah didn't know the potential of Samuel's life. He knew, or she knew, that he was a miracle child. She knew he was an answer to prayer. But she didn't know what would become of him. All she knew was that for him to become what God intended, she had to dedicate him back to God, consecrate him back to God for that full potential to come. She was not to know that he had become one of the greatest prophets, that he would be the one that would anoint Saul and then David out of the line of Jesus to be king. As parents of those who are dedicating their children today, you have no idea what God has in store for your children. But today, by being obedient like Hannah, you set in motion a journey that only God knows the outworking of. I've got a few slides this morning. First slide is about a girl called Marita. Why don't we have that? Who would have known that Marita, 9 months old, would touch the lives that she does right now? Her parents had no idea, but I guarantee you that when she was born, they followed the tradition and dedicated Marita back to God. They planted her in a church and a school to give her the best grounding. And they did. They placed her in Oxley College to give her the best grounding. They found a church, our church, and I'm pleased about that, where she would grow up, where she would join Sunday school, kids club, creche, whatever it might be. They made certain that she was placed in an environment where she would grow. She flourished at school. Here's Pastor Oxley, long years ago, giving her an award. Now, she didn't receive the HK Oxley Citizenship Award here. This was a sports award. But she went on through school and achieved many, many awards. And I think one of the prize awards that she achieved was the HK Oxley Christian Citizenship Award. On finishing year 12, her passion for other cultures was already there. Next one. And so she went on a mission trip. Now, that is an old photo because there's Greta Stenhouse on the right. But that was in West Malaysia, Marita? West Malaysia? Sorry about these photos, Marita. You're enjoying them? But already the passion for missions was there. But she knew that to do what God had called her to do, she needed to be trained further. So she gained experience as a teacher in Oxley College. That's her graduation at university. Now, I tried to work out. Go backwards, please, Luke. How long ago was that? First degree. 89. Well, someone work that out for me and tell me what it is, will you? How many? 22 years? 22 years ago. Wow. And then she became a teacher at Oxley College the first time. How many times have you been teacher at Oxley College, Marie? Three. Okay. And then it wasn't long before she had the tug of going to Uganda. And when Marita went to Uganda, she went there initially as a teacher of missionary kids, and she went up to the village where she's at right now, and it was at Uganda that she... Or go backwards, Luke. It was at there that the seed was planted in her to come and become a teacher there, to start a school there. And so she came back and she studied further, got another degree, a master's, came back to Oxley, trained further, became more equipped in what she wanted to do, and then went back. And of course we saw today a little bit of the outworking of that. It's not a school yet of 1,000, but it will be. But she's doing it line upon line, step by step. And so who would have known, next slide, who would have known that that's what we have now from that little baby that we first saw at the start. Next slide. And then not only is she impacting children, but Marita, because I think of the seed of this place that's been sown into her and the spirit of this place, she has a passion to see the unity of the churches and the ministers and pastors of the area. Because she's non-denominational, because she's not threatening to anyone in any way, shape or form, she is impacting already the spiritual life of that community. And all that happened because of Dad and Mum. And I haven't got a photo. Next one. This is a photo I took of Bill and Marita in Uganda. And I think that's just a brilliant photo of just the joy of knowing the outworking of what your children would become. So as with the apples in this seed, or the seeds in this apple, no one except God would have known when Marita was conceived what would outwork in her life. Yet in obedience, Joyce and Bill consecrated Marita back to God all those years ago. And only God knows right now how many apples are going to grow on all the trees that the seed called Marita is planting in the ground. And it could be immense. We just don't know. You think of a lady like Mother Teresa and you just think of the impact that that lady's had in her people's lives. People who wouldn't even know her or she wouldn't have even met, impacting in an incredible way. What about another one? Because I love doing this. It could be embarrassing for some, but I love doing this. You know, Rich and Deb Hunt, when they brought, I had that one, little Andrew. Cute little baby. Say thanks, Andrew. That's okay. It's getting better, Andrew. Who would have known when they brought Joth and Annie for dedication? This is Joth's dedication. Pastor Oxy there dedicating them. Again, the richness of that. That these two guys would both take up full-time pastoral positions. That they'd be used of God to lead people into worship. They'd be used by God to mentor people, to impact another generation for Him. Of course, they had a part to play. Next slide. They made certain that the gifts that they had were outworked and encouraged. And they saw them being planted. They made certain that they were planted in good soil. This is Andy at school. Nice legs, Andy. And Andy's conducting, I think, the choir. Well, that's what I think he's doing. What about the next slide? Out in the creche. The creche hasn't changed that much. The toys are still the same. Next slide. And here's Andy recently doing what I think Andy does really well. One-on-one mentoring young people. Watching them grow as a man of God or men of God that they are today. You know, this is what we're talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Thanks, Luke. Worshipping. Next one. Thanks. This is what I'm talking about when we talk about dedication. Today, it's not a tradition. It's not a religious ceremony. It's not something we just do because this is what you do. We're doing it because it sets in motion a law of God. And we as a church have an incredible part to play because we watch over these young lives. We join teams that help them grow. And we become a part of their lives as well. And that's the rich part about being a part of a church community, about being a part of a place like this. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has got to be working it full time as a missionary or as a pastor. I believe that if we achieve what God has called us to achieve in whatever call, whatever occupation, whatever outworking, and that we do it to the best of our ability and know that we can look God in the face and say, hey, I've given it my all, then we are a success story in the eyes of God. And so as these children today are being dedicated, I want you as a congregation to join with us. I don't want you to sit there and say, well, this is not my part. You join with them by praying for them, by holding up their hands, by encouraging them. When you see them running around and doing some naughty little things, which they will do, remember that they're here and they're in God's house and they're in a safe place and that we can bring out the best in them.